Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Young, another segment of What's in Your Hand at WHCR 90.3 FM. And on the line, I have Linda Clement. And also, I have another guest on the line as well, who is a physician, a pioneer of community design healthcare, a reporter for The Oregon, and author of Pet Goats and Pap Smears, 101 Medical Adventures to Open Your Heart and Your Mind, Pamela Weibel. Good morning, Pamela. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you? It's, you know, pretty early out here in Oregon. I think it's about 4, but I'm loving it.
Well, listen, I have a young lady on the line, Linda Clements, who is a fire. This is just amazing. This is amazing energy. Linda.
Hey, Ricky, and welcome to your guest. I know I've just got about a few minutes left, and I want, because I know she's going to share some powerful, powerful information with your audience, and so I want to say to her, welcome. And just again, to your audience, just make sure that whatever you do today and every morning that you wake up, you ask yourself, how are you growing?
Wonderful question. Now, one of the things that you know, in the success industry is habits. What is the best way to develop positive habits, Linda Clements?
Well, thank you, Ricky, and I'm excited about in a few minutes listening to your guests. But one of the things that I would suggest you do is act upon it. Activate yourself. If you develop positive habits through repetition of a habit that is good by doing a good thing. But it has to begin in the mind so that the body will follow. You have to first conceive and believe that, okay, I know that if someone out there is saying that their blood and the blood pressure is high, and you know that there's certain foods that trigger it, there are certain things that you do that are not healthy. However, you've been told that if you do this and act upon this, it can begin to correct it. You have to have a commitment to the outcome. That's why you develop those habits, is having a commitment to the outcome, to how the story ends.
Habits. So repetition is the key to successful habits.
Absolutely.
Doing successful things. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Pamela, how are you doing out there in Portland, Oregon this morning?
Oh, that's great. I'm in Eugene. It's just a few hours south of Portland, you know, but it's beautiful here. Another misty, magical morning in the woods.
Now,
different than where you are, I know.
Now, I think Linda's going to find this very interesting, the fact that you kind of you did revolutionize the healthcare industry. You said, you know what, healthcare is about relationships. It's not about just,
Assembly line.
It's not an assembly line.
We're getting beyond assembly line medicine, getting back into real relationships with people.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
Where healing takes place. It's not like, you know, going to a car repair, just get your muffler changed. You know, people need healing when they go to the doctor. They need to be seen emotionally, spiritually, for the whole person. That's what people told me they want, you know, because I held town hall meetings. I quit my job, and I said, you know, this is BS. I'm going to put the people in charge. I held town hall meetings and invited my community to design their ideal medical practice. So that's it. That's the new way, where people design their own clinics and hospitals. And we've been open 8 years now, training doctors and communities all over the country how to get back in sync with each other, you know?
I love that.
Real healthcare.
I love that. That is powerful. That is powerful. So how did you set up these town hall meetings? Like how did you develop that?
Well, I just called the newspaper and said, hey, talk to the editor. Why don't you just print this in the paper? We're going to open the first clinic in America designed completely by the people, for the people, of the people. And he went ahead and put that in, and then I got a lot of calls. I ended up in people's living rooms and community centers and Main Street cafes holding these little town hall meetings. I ended up with 100 pages of written testimony. And I adopted 90%, and we were open 1 month later.
Wow.
Because it's not rocket science. You know, what people want is not a bunch of high-tech, expensive stuff. They want love. They want hope.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Now, let me see. The ideal Rick Young Health Center. When I walk in there, of course, I want someone friendly to greet me when I come in. I want them to give me, say, a positive quote, and I'll say a positive quote back. And some of the videos that they're playing, I want something positive playing. I want to see positive affirmations on the wall. That's what I want to see at a health. Could you imagine at a healthcare clinic? Positive affirmations.
Yeah, that's what we got going on.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, people, guess what? You show up for your appointment, you never have to wait. Your appointment's at 3 o'clock, we're going to start right at 3 o'clock. You know what happens if I'm late? If I'm more than 10 minutes late, because you never know, there can be some unexpected thing, I'm not going to just leave you there with no explanation. I'm going to come out with a gift basket, and you get a gift, a present for me, wasting your time.
Now, how about
a way for me to say I'm sorry.
Now, how about this? Having the patients coming in and have a guest speaker such as Linda Clemens speaking, that's going to be a great healing process for them. Would you say so, Glenda?
Oh, yeah. That's great. You know, that's like the community giving back to itself, you know, to
right.
have people teach each other.
Right.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Linda, have you ever heard of a healthcare place like that before?
Well, I hear of dynamic doctors and people who are taking the medical profession to the next level. So I'm excited about what she's doing, because that's how the doctors, I remember watching those television shows that used to do and take it to a different kind of level where they were connecting with the people.
Right. Awesome.
Ricky, if you don't mind, I've got like a few more minutes that I have to have another commitment, but I just want to be able to tell your guest, she is so fascinating listening to you and what you are doing. I'm thinking that what you're doing, you should share with, I guess, at your medical conventions and let people know around the country, particularly when the concern about health care. One quick question I want to ask you in relationship to insurance, what happens if the patient comes in and they don't have insurance?
Pamela?
Yeah, that's exactly. You know what people said at the town hall meetings? They want to make sure everyone gets seen no matter what. So that's what I do. I never turn anyone away for lack of money.
And
everyone
it sounds like
can be seen.
Your business is being blessed and prospering with that. So Pamela, if you don't turn them away, how do you get compensated for that?
Well, here's what I say to these people, and there's not many of them because everyone can give a little something, you know what I mean? And what happens is no matter what, you got the rich floating the poor. I got some rich people that come see me. Believe me, they love this kind of care, VIP 24/7, 365, and so they pay for it, but they kind of float the other people along, just kind of how the haves help the have-nots. But what I ask is, you know, healthcare should not be a passive experience where you just come in and say, you know, fix me. So what I have people do is, if I'm going to see them for free, I'm asking them to give back to the community. You go work in a soup kitchen for an hour. You go give something to somebody else, you know, to pay back
wow.
into the community for the love and care that I'm giving you now. I want you to go back out and give that to someone else.
I love that. Pamela, what is your discipline in?
I'm in family medicine.
You're in family
so
medicine.
So I see the whole family and, you know, birth to death and surgery and everything else. And people can get, like I would say, 99% of what they need right one stop right in there in that little clinic with me.
Well, I expect to see you on, in addition to this wonderful radio show, I expect to see you on national TV, or you should be nominated for one of the CNN heroes for the things that you're doing. That is tremendous. Those are stories, and Ricky, I commend you for having Pamela, because those are stories her story is what we need to hear, because it's a story of hope for many people. Because if I was a consumer listening in your area, I'm thinking, if she can do it, if she is a doctor can do it, what keeps our doctors from doing it? And I know they're concerned about insurance, they're concerned about malpractice and the high cost of care, they're concerned about all that, but it sounds like what you're doing makes a difference, because not only does it help them physically, you are also treating them emotionally, because when you, like a placebo, when they walk in the door, rather than getting the white coat syndrome, they feel good coming to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, to answer your question, well, first of all, I got to say, you know, the Steve Harvey Show, those producers Skype with me last week, and they want me on the show, interviewed by Steve Harvey. That's 7 million people that could get wind of this. So, you know, what it is these kind of beautiful messages of hope, which I've got a message of hope in medicine, and other people got messages of hope in law and education and other areas. You know, what makes it transformative is getting into that mainstream media, because you know what? We learn by example. We got to see other people doing something, and then we're like, maybe I can do that too. But if you never get exposed to it, if it's just some cutesy little doctor in the corner of Oregon doing her own thing, but you never hear about it in New York City, then it just stays in the corner of Oregon. But see, we need to be sharing all this right on TV.
I love it. Well, you know.
Now wait a minute, Pamela, tell me about this Live Your Dream retreat that's coming up in April.
Oh yeah, I got a retreat out in Brighton Bush Hot Springs, and it is for anyone in healthcare. In fact, anyone in any field who wants to take it to the next level and learn how to be a community organizer. You know, they don't really teach that in medical school. They don't really teach business either. And so, see, what I try to do is give the healers, you know, these people are in it for the calling. You don't go through all that debt, all that school just to make a buck. You're in there for your heart and soul. But then part of what happens in medical school is they dehumanize you. They think they're protecting you by turning off your soul and heart so you don't get hurt by all the sickness and death around you. But guess what? That turns you into like a robot. Then you're numb and people don't understand why they can't connect with you like a human. Well, I teach people how to, like, let's just say, reignite their pilot light.
Pam, can you give that information for me, because I'm about to exit. Can you give me that information? And I know Ricky's going to ask for his audience. Can you give me that information? And I would love to share my information with the audience, but that is valuable for those who are wanting to attend, the date, the time, and how we can get more information.
Yeah, you just go to idealmedicalcare.org and click on Hot Spring Retreats.
Say it again, please.
And, just anyone who emails me, I email you back. 24/7, I'm available. I'm one of those people that's easy to reach. It's idealmedicalcare.org. And what's your contact? What's your website?
It's Linda Clemons, L-I-N-D-A, Clemons, Clemons.com.
Okay, I'll be on there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
We want to thank you for being here this morning. We really appreciate you, Linda.
You're welcome, Ricky. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care of yourself now.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Pamela, wow. So this is going to be a great retreat that you got coming up here. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I got people coming from Canada, Alaska, all over the place. You know, just basically want to learn how to connect with people, with their souls. You know, get back into reality, being a human doctor, not a robot. You know, just we need a lot of healing in this country, and you know where it's going to start? In healthcare. People go to the doctor with a dream of being healed, and it's not quite matching up all the time.
It starts in healthcare, huh?
Well, I think, you know, if we're going to heal, we got to heal healthcare. You know, people go every day. Think all the people go every day to the doctor. What if they had a real healing experience instead of a assembly line experience? That would be a shift.
Now, you were born into a family of physicians. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, you really want to know? Yeah, I was born into a family of physicians, and in fact, my dad was a medical examiner, so I was raised in a morgue. So I've been around death. You know, all my imaginary friends were real people in the morgue. See, nothing disturbs me because I've seen it all, you know, and that's why I can love everyone. You know, I've seen all that pain from as a little child going to work with my parents. So, you know, I guess I've had exposure to things that most people haven't, you know. And my dad used to bring home body parts, and I used to sit and read these medical textbooks with him as bedtime stories when I was a little child. See, so I love my work. I love it. I love being a doctor. And that's why I don't want to turn my heart off. I need to be a doctor leading with my heart. You know what I mean? It's a calling.
You know,
I don't know how to explain it any better.
No, you know, it's funny because I worked in a hospital, and when you see people coming in, so many people coming in, you can get immune to, at first, you know, you feel their pain and you feel their anguish and what they're dealing with. But after you see that so much, I mean, that didn't happen to me, but it happens to, I can see where it happens to a lot of people. They see it over and over and over again, and after a while, they just desensitize themselves to it. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah, I see that. I see that. But what happens when you desensitize yourself to other people's suffering, you know, that affects you. That means that you might not be as aware of relationships in your personal life. You know, if you cut people off 30 times a day in the middle of a sentence while they're trying to tell you about, you know, things happening in their life because you run out of time or you just can't listen anymore or you block them out, you know what I mean? What do you think that does to your marriage?
I see.
How you gonna listen to your children? You know, that changes your chemistry in your brain. That turns your heart. You are deciding to turn your heart off. You know, that does not end at 5 p.m. when you go home from your shift.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw one nurse. She was so nice. I was like, you are so nice. Why are you so nice? She says, I'm from Virginia. That's how people from Virginia are. We're nice like that. But then there was the head nurse who was like, people would come to her, talk to her, and she would argue with them and get them up tight, run their blood pressure up, and then tell the hospital police, go get them. Sick them. I was like, wow, you know, it was amazing watching this. So, and this was at Harlem Hospital in Harlem, and you know, it wasn't a pretty sight. And you know, once a guy came in, so I went to talk to a guy. He explained to me what was going on, and then he just left. I mean, he just left. It was just as easy.
I mean, you were there to get medical care?
No, I was working. I was working.
Oh, you were working there.
Yeah,
okay.
I was working. And he came in, and, you know, he was talking to me. I was listening. I listened to everything he said. And when he finished, he just left. Some people, they just want to be heard.
Oh, yeah. People, you know what? Here's the big mystery of life. People just want to be loved. People just want to, like, be appreciated. You know, sometimes when people come in, you know, they're just there because they're lonely, some people, you know?
And that's
the art of medicine. You sitting there looking at someone, listening to everything they're saying, trying to figure out, but why are they really here? And then giving them what they need.
Wow.
You know, we're taught professional distance. You know, you got to be professional. You got to sit back. You got to draw this line in the sand, and you stay on your side. I stay on my side, you know. And people think that protects you. But you know what? When people are there hurting and pain, and what they need is love or a kiss or something like that, you know, I kiss my patients. I hug my patients. I do whatever they need. I mean, I don't get sexual with them, but I'm just saying, short of that, I do whatever they need. If they want to bring their dog to the office with them, bring it in. I brought a goat to my office because somebody wanted to bring their goat with them. You know, I will do anything you need, anything, as long as it's basically almost legal.
Right. And if you're late, they're going to get a gift if you're late.
They're going to get a gift.
As
my way of apologizing for, guess what, wasting your time.
Wow.
You got other things to do that day. You don't want to be held up sitting for hours at a doctor's office. You know, these gifts are actually locally made soaps and lotions and body care products from local artisans in town, you know, so people get to pick something, support the local economy, and get to feel like, you know, their doctor really cares.
Right.
And it only costs like about $5. Each gift is kind of cheap. You know, it's not like it takes a lot of money to show you care. It's all in the action.
Right. And I bet they're so happy to get that gift, too.
Oh, they are.
Now,
you know, they interviewed me on CNN about giving gifts to patients. They couldn't believe it. I mean, and mostly people are picking little bars of soap. Now, I think that's funny. When what you're doing, giving a bar of soap, becomes a national story on CNN, I don't know what kind of society we're living in, but all I'm doing is giving people bars of soap. You know, it's funny. And I guess it's a news story. When you're nice to people, it is a news story.
Right.
Can you believe that?
That's right. That's right. That's
real. How far we've fallen. Mm-hmm. If you're nice, that's got to be reported in the news. People aren't used to it.
Now, if people ride a bike to the clinic, they also get a gift.
They do, because you know what? They're showing they care about themselves. They're saving on fuel. They're working out their body. If they ride to my office on their skateboard, on their horse, on their, you know, bicycle, if they walk, if they take public transportation, they get a gift for that, too.
For taking public transportation?
Yeah, because they're saving on energy. You know, they're sharing. They're sitting with other people. They're doing a community thing. They're getting on the bus, talking to strangers. They're not in their own car all by themselves. You know, we need to kind of connect with each other. And I know in New York it's different. Y'all are on public transportation a lot. But, you know, I think it's nice when people just kind of do the community thing. Arrive in a group, you know. Don't just use fossil fuel in their own big car on their own. You know, I just want to do my part to encourage this type of behavior that I think is beautiful.
I think that's wonderful to have a clinic that's I would call it a positive self-motivational clinic.
People do feel like they're having fun in there. You know, I let them wear party hats during their physicals. You can wear whatever outfit you want. There's nothing that can throw me off. So come in, do whatever you want, and we're going to call that health care. And while you're doing it, we're going to do your physical. You know what? A physical, guess what? A physical shouldn't feel like a trip to Jiffy Lube.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Look at that. When I'm in between my patient's thighs, looking deep inside places where nobody has looked before, patients often tell me things that they've never shared with anybody. You know, sometimes I'm so deep inside my patients that I believe I've touched their souls, and I know they've touched mine. And that's a sacred relationship. That's not a quick trip to Jiffy Lube. And you shouldn't be leaving a doctor's office with all sort of fluids falling out of you that you didn't arrive with. You know what I mean? People need to see this as a sacred healing experience.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. Now, what's your website, Pamela?
It's idealmedicalcare.org, and also the book is petgoatsandpapsmears.com. And if anyone wants a book, I'll mail it to you for free, because this is beautiful information from my heart, and I kiss every book with my own lips and my own lipstick. It's got an autograph. It's got a kiss. And I send these books all over the country for free, because I want to inspire people to think of going to the doctor as a beautiful experience. I want to inspire people to love their bodies. I want to inspire people to understand things about their bodies that they don't quite get. And the book is funny, you know. I think maybe y'all can tell I'm kind of a funny person. But, you know, it is a fun book. It's got cartoons. It's made so that people as young as 13 can read it and really get something out of it. This isn't written for doctors, you know. Although doctors love it, let me tell you, because they need to have their souls turned back on, and they read this book, and they finally remember why they went to medical school.
So one of the people that you admire is Patch Adams. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think Patch Adams is kind of a free-spirited, cool guy, because, you know, he just does, I think, what his heart and soul tells him, and he doesn't really follow the law so much. And I just think that's kind of how we need to be a little bit more in society, a little less regulation and a little more living from the heart. You know, we wouldn't need as many laws if we were all living from the heart.
Wow.
And he has done stuff. You know what he's done? He had that clinic he started on his own, all free. You know, that man never made a dollar being a doctor. He gave away everything for free his whole career. You know, he worked an outside job to make enough money to pay the rent so he could give his work away for free to his patients.
Wow.
He had this, can you believe it? They rented a 6-bedroom house with a few other doctors, and they provided 24/7 care. They ran it like a hospital. People, anyone could come over and spend the night, drop their kids off, do whatever they need to do. He saw people in there who you wouldn't believe some of the stuff this guy did. I mean, this is in the 70s. I know it was sexual revolution and all that, but he had people come in there. He called them a certain group of people. that would come, and he called them in this category profoundly ugly, meaning they had third-degree burns all over their body. They had birth defects where if they went out in public, people point at them and scream. You know what I mean? They're people that have these medical conditions, and they're shut-ins, you know, because they can't go out. Well, they would feel safe enough to go to that clinic.
Wow.
And you know what he realized? He had interviewed so many people and realized that only 3% of people have any degree of self-esteem, and only 5% of people have any idea what a day-to-day joy and vitality for life is.
Wow.
You know, when you realize that's really what people's problem is, you know, that's a different treatment than a drug. You know what? Some of these people who had these, you know, scarred up faces from acne and third degree burns, you know what? You know what they needed? They had never been kissed. You know, they had never had sex. You know what he did? This is why I think this guy's kind of amazing that he's able to do this. He had a whole team of people that he could bring in that were like consultants. Because you know what? This person who's never been kissed or hugged or had sex as an adult, you know, had sex, he would bring somebody in who would spend the weekend with them and do that.
Huh?
Yeah, he had a, he, I'm not saying, I don't provide this service at my clinic right now, but I'm just saying, you know what people need? Sometimes they need love. Sometimes they need to be touched. Sometimes they need someone to kiss them. And you know, some people have never experienced that as an adult.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just being real. You've seen people that have severe birth defects that are in wheelchairs their whole life. They don't have a girlfriend or boyfriend, some of them. What do you think they really need when they go to the doctor and they're depressed? You think they need an antidepressant? Or you think they need a kiss? You know, I got to tell you a story. Because I just blogged on this yesterday. Let me just tell you two little stories here. I'm going to read this to you. This is my blog from, listen to this. This is a Valentine's Day medical story. It's Valentine's Day, 1997. I'm at Sacred Heart Hospital admitting a colleague's patient, an elderly man dying of heart disease. On oxygen, gasping for life, he exchanges no words. His wife, unable to bear the pain of watching him die, leaves the room. So it's just the two of us, this Valentine's Eve, a blind date. No champagne, no candlelit dinner. You know, I could leave too, but it doesn't seem right to let this guy die all alone on this romantic day. So I sit with him, hold his hand, and cry. A cardiologist looks in, startled by emotion, by my emotion, you know, my tears. He says, "You must be a new doctor," then disappears down the hall. You know, maybe old doctors don't cry, but I don't want to close my heart to the wounded. I don't believe in professional distance. I believe in professional closeness. I believe in loving my patients. During my pediatric rotation in medical school, I used to stay up late at night in the hospital holding sick and dying children. I'd lift them from their cribs and sing to them, rocking them back and forth. One day, the head of my department gave me a compliment I'll never forget. He said that I was a doctor when my patients needed a doctor and a mother when they needed a mother. A few years ago, I visited the foster home where my nephew lived before he moved in with me. I spent the weekend with a dozen teenage boys, all on psychiatric medications. An autistic child had just moved into the home that day. As it got dark, he begged me to tuck him into bed. That night, I tucked all 12 boys into bed and kissed them goodnight. When the foster mom found out, she said, "You crazy, them boys haven't been kissed in years." Some patients don't need a pill. They need a kiss.
Wow. Wow. Hold on a second, Linda. Did I say Linda? I mean Pamela, excuse me.
That was Pamela. Yeah, you did.
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
Pamela, that is amazing. That is, that's amazing. Some people just
want
to be.
That's the kind of healthcare people want, you know, for real. That they walk in and their doctor's not scared of them, the patient's not scared of the doctor, that, you know, that you feel okay, safe with one another, you know, that you're not going to be hurt by the other person, that you feel safe enough to, guess what, open your heart and love one another.
And I would like to go to see a doctor. I know I'm going to get a massage, too. I said, oh, man, I can't wait to go to the doctor. I'm going to get a nice massage.
Yeah, I had a massage therapist working in my waiting room massaging people while they were waiting. And I had a massage therapist in there massaging my uninsured and Medicaid patients. You know, some of those people have never received a massage. They don't have a lot of extra money to go get a massage. So I brought the massage to them. And they got a massage, you know, of their hands and feet while I'm talking to them during their medical appointment. They didn't need as many drugs that day, you know.
Wow. That's now tell me how this town hall meeting went. How did it go? Take me from the beginning and how it went, this town hall meeting.
Well, you know, most town hall meetings, it's like people show up and they're trying to get information from an elected public official, you know.
Right,
but
right.
I see myself as a public servant.
Uh-huh.
I'm not there to sit and talk. I'm there to listen.
Uh-huh.
So you know what I do? I show up. You know, a lot of times it works best if we sit in a circle. If there's not, one time I did it with 300 people. Now we couldn't sit in a circle, but and I had it as low as four people in a living room. So you just kind of get into the, you know, try to get as close as you can, you know, to everyone, because it's not like you want people sitting in rows like they feel like they're in a college class or something. You want people to interact and be free, and so. So then all I do is I basically introduce myself, you know, 5-10 minutes, and I say, look, I'm not happy being a doctor on assembly line, and I bet you're not happy being a patient on assembly line. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put it, y'all can design your own clinic. I'll work for you. You all write my job description for me. You know what I mean? And that's what they did. And I gave them blank sheets of paper and crayons and markers and pens and paper, and I just had them, you know, hey, here's the question. If you could have anything you want, if you could have your dreams come true walking into a medical clinic, what do you want? What kind of doctor you want? How do you want them to talk to you? What does it smell like? What does it look like? What does it taste like? What is the color? You know, I mean, it's just like a super sensory experience, and they got to draw and write out all their ideas. And then at the end, we just went in a circle and kind of shared our ideas. And some people offered to donate things and offered to kind of get the thing going. And, you know, what happens is you just inspire the community to build something on their own, and it's beautiful.
Wow.
And it works. You know, it's not like, see, here's the alternative. Alternative is I could sit at home, watch the news, and try to see what they're doing in Washington, D.C. Then I could pray every night that maybe Barack Obama or someone will come to my town and lead a town hall meeting. And they might not ever come to my little town because I'm in the middle of nowhere in Oregon, okay? But I could sit and wait for them to come. And guess what? If they come, I could hope that maybe they talk about health care. Okay, and then the problem is whatever they hear that people want in health care, well, they got to go back to Washington, D.C. and start arguing with other people who don't want that. And then to try to get these laws passed, then the laws got to filter all the way back from Washington, D.C. to Oregon. You know what? Cut out all those loops. You just go ask the people, what do they want? Then do it. What's the problem? You know, I don't have to be elected to do this. I just have to be a servant of God, a servant of the people. You know, you don't need to run for election and have a bunch of money to do this. The money comes to you because guess what? You're doing the right thing and everyone loves you.
Now, what about, how do you feel about Obamacare?
Well, Obamacare, I mean, you know what that is? That's really health insurance reform. That's not health care reform. What Obamacare is trying to do, which I understand, trying to get these crazy insurance companies to be ethical. And you got to follow them around and write a bunch of laws to get them to do it because that's not their business. Their business is to make money off of sickness. He's trying to make companies that their main goal is to make money off of you being sick to try to do the right thing. Now that's, you know, that's more power to them. But you know what? That's not health care. That's trying to control people that want to make money off of sickness. What I'm doing is providing health care and getting back with the people. That's, you know what? You can't mandate health care because guess what? There is no law they could write that would make me want to care about you. I have to do that on my own. You know what I mean? You caring about me, that's something you have to decide. And your health, eating the right thing, doing the right thing, they can't make a law that'll make you do that. That's something you got to get up in the morning and say, you know, you're going to have some carrot juice or you're going to, you know, eat something healthy. That's up to you. You're going to walk to work. That's your decision. I mean, they can make it easier by banning high fructose corn syrup and getting all this stuff out of our stores and cigarettes and cheap junk and sugary stuff. I mean, they can try to get rid of some of that stuff so it's not there. You're not tempted. But you know what? Healthcare is about you and your heart and soul and making a connection with your spiritual destiny here. You know what? If you're in sync with your spiritual destiny, you're not going to hurt yourself. You know?
Wow. I like that. Now, people get into a service profession, but they really don't like that kind of work. But they are, like you said, you're a public servant. You're here for the people. And people get those kind of jobs, and they really don't enjoy those jobs.
Don't like people?
Yeah.
That's tragic. You mean our public servant? You
our
mean
public
people
servants.
In politics?
No, not only in politics and all types of works. They don't like people.
Well, why do you think they get into that if they don't like people?
I don't know. I've got on the bus, and I've spoken. I know they've dealt with 1,000 people already that probably gave them a hard time. But I'm getting on. I'm cheery. I'm feeling good. I'm happy. I'd say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and I'm feeling great. And they might not say anything. They might nod. They might not even. They might look the other way. Like, wow, there's a public servant that's just not happy with his work. I mean,
it's a group effort. We got to cheer each other up. You know, we're living in what you call a culture of distrust. You know what I mean? People don't trust each other. So, and people are not kind of having enough fun. Have you noticed that? When you go out, it doesn't look like people are having as much fun as they could be having. I don't know. I think we need to give out balloons, smile, hug people. I got hug coupons I give people. You know, people ask me at the end of the appointment for a hug, and I give them a coupon. I hug them, and then I give them a coupon they can use later with any other consenting adult to get a hug. I think we need to just, you know, touch each other a little more.
Well, let me ask you, Dr. Pamela Weibel, why are you here?
Why am I here?
Why are you here?
I'm here to love people. I'm here to use love as medicine. And you know what? In order to do that, I had to go to medical school. Because, you know, people come to the doctor, they think you know something. You got all those diplomas on the wall. And you know what? I wanted to make it official that love is medicine. So I went through all that just so I can prescribe love.
Wow, healthcare is about
official relationships.
Now, yeah. You did. Tell me about this organization called the People's Pharmacy. You did an interview with them. What do they do?
Oh yeah, I just did an interview with them. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but I've done a bunch with them over the years. They're real good people out of Durham, North Carolina, and we just did one. I think it was going to air in about a month or so on how to have fun at your physical. You know, how to connect with your doctor.
Oh, okay. Durham, North Carolina. That's where they're located.
They're syndicated, I guess, to like 35 states. You know, they don't actually play in Oregon. I can listen to them online, but they do have a lot of shows on NPR all over the country. You know, it gets played on I think on Saturdays and Sundays. So
now let's go back to the What's in Your Hand healthcare clinic. The What's in Your Hand healthcare clinic, you walk in, there's music playing that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they got music that can make you feel good. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, for example.
Mama always said, be nice and have fun. Keep a smile on your face and find the good in everyone. She would say people need a place to call. Singing this song.
Dr. Pamela Weibel, if you came into a clinic and you heard music like that, I mean, would that make you feel a little better?
Yeah, I'd know I was in the right place. Because you know what? I sing gospel music to my patients when they come in. If they got some problems, like this one guy won't quit smoking and he's dying of emphysema. And I tried everything with him. I mean, I've tried every medication. I've danced around. I've gone house calls to his house. I've done, you know what I mean? I've given 110%. This one time he came in, I just started singing gospel music. I'm like, I don't know what else I can do, so we're just going to sing now. And I sang all the way through his appointment. He said it made him a little nervous. But it was I think it was like I Smile, that song, or something like that, or Imagine, or one of those. I forget which one it was, but it was like I picked it out just for him, and I played it and sang it to him. Another woman I had, you know, I did a house call with her. She was in a real bad state because her mom just died. Well, I went over there. We sang songs. I gave her a CD with a song that I thought would be perfect for her situation, and I sang it to her. And then I left.
I want you to play this little small piece for some of your patients. Hold on a second.
Okay.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. This morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace. Generated by love. And you can be that servant.
So, Dr. Pamela Weibel, can you let some of your patients hear that? Do you think that would...
Oh, yeah, well, I played Martin Luther King for them, too. Yep. You know what? Another doctor had called me. He wrote this on an endorsement on the back of my book. He said that I was like medicine's Martin Luther King.
Wow. All right. I like
that. I'm going to do it. You know what? If nobody else wants the job, I'm going to take it. I'll do it. You know what courage means? You know what the definition of courage is?
What's the definition of courage?
To lead with your heart.
Okay.
You know that? Courage comes from the Latin word C-O-R. You know, corazón. You know, Spanish. C-O-R. That means heart. It means to lead with your heart. And that's all it is.
Now, from the marketing side, how did you connect with Steve Harrison?
Steve Harrison? Oh, I think I got, you know, he sends a lot of emails. I don't know. Somehow I end up on his list. When you're on his list, well, you're getting some stuff every week. So I finally thought, well, maybe I ought to try this out because, like I said, I don't want to just sit in my little cute office in the middle of nowhere in Oregon having all this fun when, you know what, physicians have the highest suicide rate out of any profession. I can't let these other doctors be killing themselves all around the country. They're shooting themselves in the head. They're overdosing. Doctors are pretty good at that. They got a lot of drugs. And I cannot let these people be, these are healers. I cannot let our healers harm themselves. That's the situation we're in this country. Our healers are harming themselves. So you know what? I was willing to go to sign up with Steve Harrison and learn what I need to learn to share this message. Not for money. I'm sharing this message to save my colleagues from a life of despair.
And was that a good decision?
Oh, yeah. It was a great decision. Great decision.
That's how we connected.
You know, Steve Harrison's a very motivating guy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how we connected.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know what? Nothing is random. Everything is meant to be.
Okay.
So if I had to sign up for all that to meet you, I'm telling you, it was 100% worth it.
Pet goats and pap smears, 101 medical adventures to open up your heart and mind. Pamela Weibel. Wow. I mean, that would be amazing. I think people would be more healthier if they had more clinics like yours. And the emergency rooms wouldn't be packed.
It's not hard to do. We opened in a few months. You know, after the last town hall meeting, which was March 6, 2005, we opened on April Fool's Day, less than a month later. You know what the people want is pretty easy. So, and I help doctors open these all over the country. There's some in New York. There's a map on my website which lists a bunch of them all over the country.
You got.
And you know what? Y'all want a copy of the book, I'm going to mail it to you for free. You got to go on petgoatsandpapsmears.com, email me. I will send you a free book. Just give me your address. Because this is a movement.
Oh, movement, I love it. I love it.
You know,
it.
For ideal
it.
Care.
Now, my stepfather, my father, is in the hospital, right? He was in a nursing home, so he's in a coma right now, so he's going through different changes.
Sorry.
So he went to the emergency room. He was in the emergency room for 4 days. They had people lined up all in the hallways, along the walls. They have a certain section for certain people where they pull the curtain. We had to share that section with somebody else. It was so packed and they were overwhelmed. This was like right after the new year. I'm like, and it's supposed to be a so-called good hospital. And they were overwhelmed with patients. They couldn't handle all the patients they were getting. What do you say about something like that?
Well, you know, most emergency rooms are clogged up with people who really should be at the regular doctor's office, but they don't have a regular doctor.
Right.
And what's going on with the regular doctor? Their doctor is depressed. Their doctor is trying to figure out a way to quit medicine and go into, like, I don't know, banking or something else, you know, trying to escape. If your doctors are trying to escape from health care, then you're going to have a clogged up emergency room because the doctors are not happy. Now, if you manage to get in with the doctor, which can be a million phone trees, and you finally fight your way in, you might be sitting in front of somebody who doesn't even smile and look you in the face. And that's a whole other problem. You know what I mean? So we just got to get back to what they call common sense. You know, these people went into this field to be humanitarians and give. I mean, some of them, of course, are motivated a little more than money. And you know what? A lot of doctors are not motivated by money. Again, they wouldn't have put all this time and energy into all this education. There's easier ways to make money, let me tell you. These people want to heal people and help people, and we got to let them do it, you know, by just showing some examples of what can be done. That's all I'm doing, trying to just be a model for what's possible, you know?
And when they step into your clinic, it's like going into, it is a sanctuary. Not it's like, it is a sanctuary. Wow.
Yep.
I love that.
That's what somebody wrote on their town hall testimony. She wanted to be a sanctuary, a safe place, a place of wisdom, a place where there exists no time, where we can learn to live harmlessly, live with empathy, and observe without judgment. Look at this. I got this testimony memorized. I love what people wrote on their forums. That was from like 2005. I've still got it floating around in my mind because every day when I go to work, you know what? I want to be that kind of doctor. The kind of doctor that she wrote down on her little sheet that she wants me to be. I just love it.
Well, let me go to a clinic to go see a doctor, and I could sit in a waiting room, or not in the waiting room, but I could listen to some positive motivation or some positive music or something. That would be amazing.
I know.
It's
so simple. How much does that cost? Nothing.
Right.
You know? Get a CD. That doesn't cost anything. Get one of those. I don't know. They got those all sorts of things now you can sign up for where you get, you know, the songs you like floating through on your system. I mean, you know, that doesn't cost much, but I'm telling you, it's going to improve your day. It's going to improve your blood pressure before you get in there.
That is awesome. So we're at the end. Any final words you want to say? Give me your website again.
It's idealmedicalcare.org and petgoatsandpapsmears.com. and y'all should keep in touch. Let me know if I can help in any way. I am here to serve the people no matter where you live.
Wow, I love that. And any final message you want to share?
Final message. The final message, I guess, you know what? It was Valentine's Day yesterday. People
yes.
are looking for love. They're looking for a lifelong relationship for happily ever after. Here, I want to open your mind to something. You know, think about it. You, the relationship you're looking for could be with your doctor. You know, your doctor's there through thick and thin, weddings, divorce, death. Your doctor can write a prescription that saves your life or kills you. Your doctor has more control over your health, happiness, and destiny than even your spouse. Yet many people pick a doctor randomly from a list provided by their insurance company. Here's the final message. Give it some thought. This might be the last face you see before you transition to the next life. Who are you going to pick for that? What kind of relationship you want to have with that person who's going to love you till you die? And it could be your doctor. You know? Open your mind. Get in that relationship. Don't just pick someone random. Get in that relationship. That relationship could be the most important relationship of your life.
Woo! I love it. I love it. Now, my mother's birthday is tomorrow, so we're going to be celebrating her. And when's your birthday?
December 5th.
Uh-huh.
I'm Sagittarius, free spirit, fire child.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to play this song for you on the way out because we're getting ready for the next show. But I want to play some really upbeat music for you. So this is for you. Jam Tonight by Freddie Jackson. All right.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you for coming on this morning. I'm going to be jamming my way out of here. And keep doing the wonderful work that you're doing, Pamela, Dr. Pamela Weibel.
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.